We are going to be starting today a brand new series of lessons out of the book of Nehemiah. And I am so glad that you are here today, because this series of lessons, I think it's going to be a help to us in a great way. This being the first day of June 2025, we are looking at things going on in our world today. Leaders, folks that are supposed to be leaders, and folks that want to be leaders. And we are looking at something today that our world is just so confused about. But we're going to be looking at a series of lessons, and it's entitled this, Broken and Building. Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And God wants each of us to lead, to be a leader. We are leading, folks. We are leading. We're either leading folks to come to know Christ, or we're leading folks away from Christ. And I want to lead folks to come to know Christ. Amen, don't you? That's what I want to be able to do in my life. Let me remind you of a couple things real quick here. Next Monday night, not tomorrow night, but the following Monday night is our first Conqueror's Class summertime activity up at Crab's Tropical Treat, okay, up in Hanover. If you can come, I've got the address in the bulletin this morning. You got that on there, and I hope that you'll get to come. We'll have a good time. We'll have some fellowship. And then next Sunday night, after the service, we're having our ice cream fellowship here at church. So I hope that you'll be here for that as well, all right? With all that said, I want to get started today with a lesson early. But I want you to look at it today. In the book of Nehemiah, we're going to be studying out of the book of Nehemiah today. Nehemiah chapter number 1. And again, this series is entitled Broken and Building. I want to ask you this morning, what does it take to become a good spiritual leader? Well, you got to know Christ, first of all, right? Amen. You can't lead folks in a direction that you don't know which way to go to. We need folks that know Christ as our Savior. Brother Craig Ledbetter was here a couple weeks ago, missionary over in Ireland. He's pastoring there at the church. And we were talking, and he was telling me about his discipleship program that he's doing. He's written a whole study booklet on it, and I ordered a couple of those because I've got some folks I've been trying to work with and helping them, now that they've been saved, to grow in the Lord. And I wanted to be able to have, you know, something that was it was really good for them. And I went through some of his lessons. My wife and I were looking at them last night. I've been going through them the last week or so. And you know, developing that testimony that you know Christ is your Savior, and then being willing to be what God wants you to be in this life, is something that each of us needs to strive for. We need a desire to help others, to lead them in the right direction. And this lesson series on Nehemiah, I think, will be a big help to us in seeing the need today. We have gotten so satisfied with all the things around us today, with all the sin, with all the things that are going on. My wife was telling me they've got this athlete that was a transgender or something, a guy that was supposed to be a girl or something now. Anyway, ran a bunch of races and did a bunch of stuff this past weekend. And they actually had two award ceremonies. One to give him all the awards that he got, or, you know, he said she was a she, but he's a he, actually. And they gave him awards for beating all these women in the competitions. But before they did that, after he had supposedly won all those things, they gave the ladies awards who came in places after him, because they wanted to be fair to everybody. And I thought, well, if they want to be fair, just let them run their own race somewhere else, you know, compete with themselves or whatever. But you know, our world has gotten so used to hearing stuff like this that it doesn't affect us. It doesn't speak to our hearts anymore. It doesn't show us the need that people have for a Savior. And folks, the real need is these folks need to be saved. If they got saved, they wouldn't be like that. They wouldn't be doing those things. The problem is today, we've got comfortable living in sin. Our world today has gotten comfortable, okay, in the situations it's in. And in the lesson we're going to be looking at here today, the people of God had grown comfortable living in captivity, living under pagan leadership, and they had forgotten about the blessings, the promises that God had made to give unto them a land flowing with milk and honey. They had forgotten that God had chosen the city of Jerusalem as His place, His city, at the temple there to be the place where that He would come and meet with them and talk with them and lead them in the right direction. And they had gotten used to all these things. And folks, I think that's the way we are in our land today. We've gotten used to living the way we're living, and we're not looking ahead to the day when we stand before God. We're not looking ahead when we have to give account unto God for how we have served Him after knowing Him as our Savior. We're not looking at being a spiritual leader. We're just trying to stay the status quo, keep everybody happy, give everybody a trophy, you know, and go on with life. And that's not the way it needs to be. And God's word here shows us in the book of Nehemiah how that God will take anyone who is willing to be a servant of God, and God will use them in a great and mighty way to lead others not only to come to know Christ, but to grow in their new fellowship and their new relationship with the Lord God. And as we look at this lesson today, I thought about King David. King David had gotten to the point that, you know, he was blessed of God. God had been so good to him. He thought he was too big to go to war, you know, with the other soldiers and go out in the battlefield with the rest of them. And he got himself in trouble, did he not? With Bathsheba. He got himself in trouble. And then, to cover up his sin, he had an innocent man killed, put into the midst of the battle, and left to die. And he thought just because he had been blessed of God, just because he was the king, he could do what he wanted to. But God sent a man named Nathan to point his finger in David's face and said, "David, God knows what you've done. You're the man. And buddy, you've got a lot to account for." And you know, David, his heart was broken when he realized what he had done. You can read Psalm chapter 51. It talks about that. And he talks about how that he wanted his life to be right with God. He realized that he had done wrong in the eyes of God. He knew all that. But folks, our problem today is folks don't see what they're doing wrong. And we need to get back to where we see God as God and sin as sin, and realize that God has a plan. And He wants every man to know, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, that God has a plan. God used David in a great way, but he had some scars. And folks, I'm telling you today, God wants and needs some good and godly spiritual leaders.
Amen.
Yes, He does.
In our homes, in our churches, in our workplaces, in our political world.
Amen. Amen.
He needs good and godly leaders to point folks in the right direction. Folks that will stand up and do what God has saved them to do. And that's what you and I need to be today. We need to be those leaders. Now, I want us to look at this lesson, because there are times when God has to break a person. He has to break them. He had to break David, did he not? He had to humble him. And you know, God does that with his leaders. Sometimes he has to break us and put us where that we've got no other place to look except unto him. We got no other person to turn to except unto God. And that's what God wants us to do, to look unto him. So as we come to Nehemiah chapter number 1 today, I want us to see a couple things. First of all, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, I think that's about as far as we're going to get today. I hope to get through those three verses. But first of all, it explains the situation that we find this man named Nehemiah in. We find the situation that he's in. Secondly, it examines the heart of this man as to whether he has any concern for folks around him or just for himself. There are many Christians today that are only concerned for therefore and no more. They have no concern for anybody else. But lastly, we're going to find that it expects and even demands a proper response from God as to what we're going to do now that we know that God has a plan. We know that God has something for us to do. What are we going to do with it? And the desire of my heart today, I want you to understand something. The desire of my heart today when we start this lesson series is that when you leave this place today, you're going to have a more godly concern for folks around you each and every day. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, look at the fields. Look around you today. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. When they were white unto harvest, they were to the point of beginning to rot right where they were. And he told them this. He said, I want you to look out there because the need is great. The field is white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Everybody wants to enjoy coming to a good church. I do too. Everybody wants to enjoy, you know, saying, I love Jesus. And boy, I do too. But very few want to go out and help the people around them see the need to live for God and redeem the promises that God has in his word for each of us. Now, I want us to look at this today. The Bible talks about this man named Nehemiah. And I want you to remember now, by the time that Nehemiah comes to on this scene here, and that we have this story about Nehemiah, God has already been leading Zerubbabel and Ezra to begin the work that he had ordained to have done some 90 plus years earlier. And these men of God had been preaching, and Nehemiah here writes in his very first verse, he says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Now, when we look at this one first verse, we only see a few things that we can find out about Nehemiah. You have to kind of dissect it a little bit. First off, we see about his family. Okay, the very first part of the verse says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Okay? We don't know much about this man. We don't know much about him at all, except what we read. But we do know It must have been a difficult thing for Nehemiah's parents as they did all they could to raise their son in the ways of the Lord in a land that was very wicked and very godless. Oh, wait a minute. That almost sounds like today.
Amen.
You know what? We have situations today in our land. We've got schools that are teaching things that we know are contrary to the Word of God. We got society today that are living a lifestyle that is totally contrary to the Word of God. We've got leadership today in our world that is doing things contrary to the Word of God. And everywhere we look, everybody is saying, well, just do your own thing. You know, just do your own thing. It's a very wicked time. And Nehemiah and his parents, they lived in a time such as this. And although we read very little about Nehemiah's parents in this book of the Old Testament, we see that they must have felt God had a special plan for their son. Because when he was born, they named him Nehemiah. And that word Nehemiah, that name Nehemiah, means the comfort of Jehovah. It means the comfort of Jehovah. They must have continued to seek after God's promised deliverance as they sought for God's comfort for his people, Jehovah's comfort. They had been in captivity for so long. They had to pay the consequences for disobedience and rebellion toward God. But they had gotten used to living in the land and used to everything going on around them. And yet they sought for God's comfort. And the only thing that we can really learn of Nehemiah's parents is through the testimony that Nehemiah had for trusting God as he worked in this wicked world. Now Nehemiah, he had a job to do for the king. He worked a public job, okay? He was not working in a temple. He was not serving in a ministry, so to speak. He was a servant. He was a servant. And I think the lesson today that we need to see and we need to understand is that the world knows nothing of the God that we say we love and we serve except through the testimony that God has given each of us to live before those people wherever God places us. God may have placed you in a wild and wicked workplace. I've heard folks say, man, I wish I didn't have to work here. I wish I didn't have to do this. I wish I didn't have to do that. But folks, God has us placed where he has us for a purpose. God has a plan. And we're to bear his name. Nehemiah's parents were obviously godly people. They were spiritual leaders in their own home, and they had taught Nehemiah the word of God. But the second part of that verse, we not only see his family, but we also see his specific place in history. You know what? God has us here today at this specific time for a purpose and a plan. I can think of no better time I would like to live upon this earth as we live right now, where we are seeing all the things come to place, come to fruition, that God's Word said would happen before he comes again. We're seeing those things come to pass. We're seeing it put into reality today. And here, in the second part of verse number 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, God had his servant, Nehemiah, in a specific place, at a specific time, doing a specific job, just when all seemed lost for the people of God. Have you ever noticed that God has things just divine order, how God does things? God has a divine order of doing things. And as we've already seen back in the other Old Testament books, Ezra and some of these other books of Esther, When it seems that God is nowhere to be found, when you can't see Him working, you know that He's in the background. Amen. He's doing only what God can do, and He is still there. Ezra wrote about that. Esther, we read the story of Esther, and we see all of that. And just as God had a special job for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, just as He had a special job for Esther, even so God had a special job for His servant Nehemiah. At a specific time, it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, He said, as I was in Shushan, the palace. So then in verse number 2, we find Nehemiah and his setting. What was going on in his life? What was happening? While he's there working in the palace, he's working there for the king in Shushan. One day, a visitor comes by to see him. And Nehemiah writes here in verse number 2, look what he said. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now think about this just a moment. Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He had never been there, as far as we know. But oh my goodness, he must have heard wonderful stories about that beautiful place. He must have heard stories of the beauty of the city of David that God had established, that God had set up for a special place that he could be, and his name would be listed there as the city of God. Oh my, man, all the things he must have heard about that. His heart must have longed to know the state of Jerusalem, how it was and how everything was going, how those people were doing. Were they well? Was everything good with the city and things like that? So we see here the answer. The Bible talks here about Judah after the captivity. And now the Bible says that Nehemiah asked the question. He said, Hanani, one of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. Lots of people had suffered during the years of captivity. Many had died. Many had been put into slavery and died. And Nehemiah wanted to know how they were now. But he also wanted to know about the city itself after captivity. After the captivity. And so here in the last part of verse 2, the Bible said, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He wanted to know if the city of David and its residents were still doing well. He wanted to know. He had a concern. He did not know what had happened. And folks, when Nehemiah found out what was going on, his heart was broken. You see, Nehemiah received a challenge here in verse number 3. And you say, well, he got a challenge? What kind of challenge did he get? Well, in this verse, Nehemiah is about to get the direct answer to the questions of his concern. And look what the Bible said. First, he's told of an afflicted people in verse number 3. Look at it. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity. In other words, all those folks that had been captured and kept in captivity, there's a small remnant now left of them, only a small remnant. There in the province are in great affliction and reproach. They're in great affliction and reproach. Much to Nehemiah's surprise, Hanani answered him in words of horror and distress. And he said, the remnant, the small group that's left of the captivity, there in the province, they are in great affliction and in distress. Certain evil had come upon the children of Israel, And they were much distressed about this thing. The evil that had come upon them because of rebellion, because they had turned against God, they had rejected His word, they had suffered the consequences. And because of the problems, the people back home now in Judah were struggling with great depression. They were struggling with the grief of their heart and soul and their mind and also their body. And news of such magnitude, when it came to Nehemiah's ears, man, it was a heavy burden upon his heart. Let me ask you this. When is the last time you or I had a great burden for the people around us? For the distress that they're going through today? When is the last time we got a burden for the children that are being taught sinful things in school today? For the homes that have been divided and seemingly conquered by the devil because of deceit and deceptiveness? When is the last time that you and I had a great or heavy burden for our city that we live in? And we're concerned enough to go out and do something about it. I dare say that many folks today have lost that burden. And Nehemiah was working for the king. He had a great job in the palace in Shushan. Man, he was the king's cupbearer. He had it made. As long as he made sure the king didn't get anything poisoned or anything like that. You know, he was good. He was fine. He was great. But when he heard of the distress that this remnant was in, it broke his heart. The enemy of God's people had hounded them and persecuted them as never before. And folks, they had experienced military and political attacks. And every effort they had given to the rebuilding of the temple had been fought against by their oppressors. They were not able to rebuild the city. And now these people were so discouraged by the consequences of their bad decisions. Let me remind you of something. Bad decisions yield bad consequences. They didn't know what they needed to do to make things better. They had no clue. And the discouragement was so great that they seemed to have no hope at all. Until we go over to the Old Testament book and we read in the book of Haggai. I want you to turn there just a moment. Haggai chapter number 1. And I want us to read these verses together. A lot of these verses just flow together. They're in the same time frame. It said, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of God, of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, under the Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Folks, I think that's something we need to look at today. We need to consider our ways. Look what he said. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it is come to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, The heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of their hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you. What a promise. Amen. I'm with you. Don't forget me. I'm here. Don't neglect me. Don't neglect my word. I'm here with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Thank God for a man that would encourage the people of God through the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God gives strength. It gives help in time of need. Revival and rebuilding then came as a result of the men of God preaching the Word of God. Do you see that today? Now, these then told Nehemiah also of a reproached province. Now I want you to look at the second part of verse 3. Nehemiah's friend, Hanani, along with those other friends and acquaintances, came and they told him of how the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. That word reproach signifies how the city had been devastated, okay, by the enemies of God. And it had been left in disgrace. It had been left in disgrace. It was treated with scorn. The city of God had been left in contempt. Think about that today. The city was not just devastated, but it was literally left in shame, in rubble, dishonor by the enemies of God and His chosen people. They just left it. They left it. And what a sad situation for God's chosen people to be in. The place that God had established to bring honor and glory and praise unto His name, and now it's left in ruins. And sadly, because the people seemingly had no desire to trust and obey God, they just left things the way they were, in ruin, in dishonor, and in disarray. But oh, thank God for men like Haggai and these other men that would come and preach the Word of God. And then Nehemiah was also told of the broken down wall in the latter part of verse 3. Look at this. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. I want you to think about this a minute. Through a letter that had been written to the king, we read over in Ezra chapter 4. I don't have time to read all this today, but in verses 6 through 23, Ezra chapter 4, verses 6 through 23, the Jews had been accused of all manner of dissension against the king and all his kingdoms by the enemies of God's people. They had accused them of trying to bring havoc upon the king's kingdom. And then this in turn caused the king to rethink his allowing the Jews to do any work, any more work in the city of God, until you get down to verse 18 of that same chapter. And in Ezra chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, the king writes back to them and says, the letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded And search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Wow. What an awful thing to write, to receive. But go down to verses 23 and 24. And there we read, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. These men had no desire to do anything, and they caused the other people to stop doing what they were doing for the Lord. And look what the Bible said. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They just rebuilt walls. Those rebuilt walls were once again knocked down by the enemies of God. And everything that had been done to rebuild, to put back together, now had been stopped. They couldn't do anything else. And now the people of God felt hopeless. They didn't have anybody to help them. They didn't have anybody to point them in the right direction. And all they could do was submit to the will of their enemies. And you know what? If that had not been enough, Nehemiah's brother goes on here to tell him in the very last part of this verse about the fire-ravished gates of that city. Fire destroys things terribly. I remember watching the fires there in California and how those big movie star houses and all were just left as stubble. Nothing. They lost everything. Their barns. Some of them had horses and animals and things like that, and lost all those things. But I want you to look at this. The last part of that verse says, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Six of the major city gates had all been burned by fire. They'd all been burned, and great repair was needed. But there was nobody there to lead them. There was nobody there to help them. But through the furnace of testing, God began to work in the heart of a man named Nehemiah and to give him a burden for the city of God, for the people of God. And God began to mold and make that man into what God wanted him to be, but he did it through a broken heart. And folks, I'm convinced today, if we ever want to see anything great done for God, you and I have to be willing to have a broken heart today. You and I are going to have to see the need of the hour. People dying and going to hell. People running around every which way and don't have a clue about what they need to do. And they need direction. This was the tragic news that Nehemiah had just gotten. In the first three verses, this is what broke this man's heart. But this is what God used in order that this man might gain a burden, both for the remnant of people and the devastation of the city that they were to live in. Now let me ask you today, what would it take for God to get our attention today? I think a lot of the things that we're seeing in our land today, God is trying to get our attention. And he's trying to help us to see just how depraved our world is and just how much they truly need the Lord God. Thursday night, we had soul winning visitation. We had folks that went out and went soul winning. And I don't remember how many folks got saved, the ladies, six or seven, right? Before we even had the dinner, they went out early. And then, Mike, you guys had what? 10?
At least 8 or 9.
Yeah. 8 or 9 folks. You know where they went? They went down to a carnival down here. It was in Union Bridge, right? Went down there and passed out gospel tracts at a carnival and led 8 or 9 people to Christ. You know why? Because they had a burden. And folks, you and I need a burden today. We need a burden. But what will it take for us to get that burden? I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody looking around them. And Jesus said this. I want to read these verses again. In Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35 and 36. The Bible said, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." Why? "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." That's where we're at today, folks, in our world. And somebody's got to be willing to be broken enough to say, "You know what, God? I'll go. I'll be willing to go and tell some folks about Jesus. I'll be willing to learn how to take the Word of God and share it with those around us that need to know it. I'll be willing to go." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." We need some broken leaders today. We need some folks to say, "You know what, God? Our world's going to hell in a basket. And they need to know about you. And Lord, I'm going to go and do it." Nehemiah got a burden. When you come back next week, I'm going to tell you what happened with that burden, okay? All right? So please be back next week. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you. And Lord, I want to have a burden for you and for your people as you would want me to have. And Lord, I want to be that spiritual leader, God, that you want me to be. I want to encourage your people, Lord, to be all that they can be for you. But God, I'll never do it if I just sit around and just do nothing. Lord, please help me to have the right kind of vision today. And Lord, help our people to have a vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And Lord, I don't want anybody to die without you. Lord, please help us to get that vision. Break us today and help us to be the leaders that you would have us to be. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach, and help our hearts to be receptive to the preaching of that word. And Father God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. We love you.